Powerful song. As we get started, I want to ask you a question. First of all, thank you for letting me stand before you and open God's Word with you. But I want to ask you a question. How far would you go with Jesus? Have you asked yourself that in your Christian walk? How far would you go with Jesus? Today we're going to talk about five things: God's power, God's plan, God's providence, God's presence, and finally, God's pathfinders. So let's start with God's power. I want you to turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 14. We're going to pick it up right around 22. Matthew chapter 14. Please say amen when you're there so I know. All right. You're probably very familiar with this story, but we're going to go through it anyhow because it shows God's power. It starts out telling us that immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. If you go back and read what was going on, the context was he had just fed all those people, and that is the ultimate welfare program. They wanted to make him king. And he was not going to be set up as an earthly king. That was not his mission. So he's sending the multitude away, but he sent the disciples across the Sea of Galilee. And then when you come down to verse 24, it says, "But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary." My Bible says in verse 25, it says, "Now in the fourth watch of the night." Does anybody know what time the fourth watch of the night is? You got to say it loud because I can't hear you over the fan. What's the fourth watch of the night? 3 a.m., really? Wow. 3 a.m. Three angels messengers. All right. But it goes from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. And something about the fourth watch of the night is that is the darkest time of the night and the coldest time of the night. Did you know that? You know, last couple of nights here, it got cold at Camp Pitch right around 3 o'clock. And I didn't bring the right sleeping bag, so I felt it. But here's the fourth watch of the night. And the Bible says that Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out for fear. What about today? If you saw someone walking on the water, how would you react? I'd be freaked out. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And verse 28 is where we start to see God's power. "And Peter answered him." This is the one we always pick on, right? Peter putting his foot in his mouth all the time. "Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' So he said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat," he what? "He walked on the water to go to Jesus." Now, what do you think about that? I mean, you read this all the time. Is it cliche to you? I got a question for you. How many disciples were there? Where are the other 11? If I saw you get out and walk on water, you better believe you're not going to be the only one. Even right now, I'm jealous of this story because in heaven, it's only he and Jesus that have done this. And I want to walk up to Peter and say, "Hey, by the way, guess what? The Lord allowed me to walk on water. Do you want to walk on water? Metaphorically, do you want to do things by the grace and the power of God that astonish people? The only way that happens, dear friends, is if you get out of the boat. The boat is the comfort zone. The boat is the status quo. And if we stay status quo, I don't know if we'll see the latter rain. I think we'll be the ones that won't recognize the latter rain. We got to get out of our comfort zone. Amen? The Bible goes on. You know it. Verse 30 says, when he saw, Peter, saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, began to sink, and he cried out saying, Lord, save me. Anybody ever read Desire of Ages? Desire of Ages says that a wave came between Peter and Jesus. And he lost sight of Jesus just for those few minutes. Now here's my question. Was Jesus still there? Because God's presence is with his people. Amen? Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. The Lord is with us. But you got to get out of that comfort zone. And that's what I want to challenge you. I heard an illustration of a young man, and I shared this with the youth. And this will be the last thing that I'm repeating that you've already heard, young people. But I heard an illustration of a young man who was sitting on a fence. He was sitting there while he watched the Lord separate his sheep and the devil separate his goats. And he heard the Lord call them. And the Lord said, my sheep what? They hear my voice and they follow me. And so as the Lord called them, off to the right here, they followed. And he watched that. He's sitting right here on the fence. And then the devil's over here, and the devil says, all right, guys, let's go. And they follow him. A couple minutes later, the guy's still sitting there just thinking about it. When the devil comes back, he says, come on, let's go. And the guy says, I didn't choose you. I didn't choose you. I didn't choose him either. And the devil said, I said, let's go. I own the fence. There was a song by Rush. Anybody remember Rush? It said, you may choose not to choose, but you have still made a choice. My goal as a pastor is to call you to make a choice. The time is coming to an end. Amen? Probation is almost over. We can see the signs around us. And if you want to walk on water, dear friends, you've got to make this choice. You want to see his power. You know what Paul said? Paul said in Philippians 3:10, anybody know that text? That I might know him in the power of what? His resurrection and what? The fellowship of his sufferings. My question again. How far would you go with Jesus? I want you to go in your Bibles with me. Let's look at Paul. Since Paul said this in Philippians 3, let's go to Acts. The book of Acts, if you will. And let's go to Acts 16. So we just saw God's power. Now we're going to look at God's plan. Are you with me? All right, everybody there? Acts 16 and verse 6. We're going to look at God's plan. It says, verse 6, now when they had gone through Phrygia in the region of Galatia, they were what? Forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Have you ever been forbidden from preaching? Anybody in here ever been forbidden from preaching? It happens again here. Look at this. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. I had that happen to me one time. Because see, I didn't grow up Christian. I didn't grow up Seventh-day Adventist. And I was with a group of Satanists that I knew after I had become a Seventh-day Adventist. And I wanted to reach them. Two of them in particular I wanted to reach. And the Lord would not let me rebuke them. You know what he did? He made my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth so that I would not rebuke them. And I didn't understand it, except right then I was impressed. You're not allowed to rebuke them. And I said, well, Lord, can I just say it was nice to meet you with a great big smile? And he says, okay, I'll let you do that. And so he loosed my tongue and I did that. Do you know, about a year after that, I read it in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 3, it happens there. And do you know why the Lord wouldn't let Ezekiel rebuke them? It's Ezekiel 3:26. It says, because they are a rebellious house. They knew what they were doing. And he wouldn't let me rebuke them. And here, they're forbidden by the Holy Spirit from going to whatever this area is. But then, look at verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Here's God's plan. Let's watch God's plan unfold. Do you trust him? Do you trust God's plan in your life? Watch this. So they sailed from there. And in verse 12, they go by Philippi, which here we would say Philippi, right? Which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And they were staying there for some days. And on the Sabbath day, they went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made and sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Here's God's plan. A certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. You know what that means? She's honest. She's honest. God's plan is unfolding here. Do y'all remember that when, was it Joseph Bates that went into the town and said, who's the most honest man in town? Send me to him. Do y'all remember that from our history? Notice this. She worshiped God. It says, the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Now, is that cool? That's God's plan unfolding. Do you trust him? When she and her household were baptized, there's confirmation, God's plan's at work. She begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she constrained us. What do you think? God's plan? Y'all agree? Are y'all awake? I need some feedback, okay? Are y'all awake? You see God's plan? Let's look at God's providence. Keep reading. Verse 16, it says, now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl, what? Possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. The girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. What's wrong with that? What do you think? What do you think's wrong with that? Do you know how crafty our enemy is? He's trying to give credence to this devil-possessed girl in the eyes of the people by trying to associate her with Paul and Silas. Paul was fed up. You know what happens next. She did this, verse 18, for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, there's this righteous indignation coming up, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. God's providence here. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the marketplace to the authorities, and they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men being Jews exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us being Romans to receive or observe. What do you think about God's providence right now? You think his plan's still coming together? Do you trust the Lord in your life? Verse 22 says, then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. Verse 23, and when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into the prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. And by the way, the prisons back then, guys, are not like this one right down the road here. Every germ imaginable. Just imagine the comfort level. It was not a Hilton. It was like a Hanoi Hilton. Verse 24, this jailer, having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison where it stinks the worst, where there is no draft, and fasten their feet in the stocks. How far would you go with Jesus? God's providence is seen here, dear friends, because now we want to see his presence. Is God with his people? You see this next verse, verse 25? It says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and what? Singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. You know what that reminds me of? Do y'all remember in the book of Job where the devil takes everything from Job? Takes his construction business. Takes his bank account. Remember the camels? Takes all his sheep, his 401k, his IRA, and finally his children. And do you know what Job 1:20 says? It says, Job tore his clothes, shaved his head, and there prayed to the Lord. Is that what you do when that storm happens to you? When that wave gets there and comes over, crashing over your life like it was doing with Peter, do you remember that Jesus is with you? Here they sing and pray to the Lord, and the prisoners were listening to them. I remember my dad saying, when I was younger, he said, son, make sure you take heed to how you act and what you say, because someone is always watching you. And they may be older than you. And here the Bible says these prisoners were listening to them. In verse 26, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. The foundations were shaken. And immediately, how many? All the doors were open. And how many chains? Everyone's chains were loosed. Is that powerful? Is that walking on water? You bet it is, because this is God's presence. Amen? And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we're all here. Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Has anyone ever asked you that? How do I become saved? That's what I live for, guys. That's what I live for, is for people to ask me that so I can lead them to Jesus. You know what I see here with God's presence? I see He cares for each one of us. So far, we looked at God's power, God's plan, God's providence, and now we're seeing God's presence. And look at this. Verse 31 says, "So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household.' Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in the house, and he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were" what? "Baptized. And when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household." You ever heard people say that if just one person had sinned, Jesus would have died for them? Did you know there's scriptural evidence for that? Some of you might think, where? You might be thinking of the parable of the lost sheep. But that's a parable. There is an actual account, dear friends, that if you were the only soul, Jesus would have died for you. Did y'all know that? According to the prophecies, the sanctuary, the old covenant prophecies, there was a morning and an evening what? Sacrifice called the daily. According to the prophecies, Jesus could have died at 0900. 9 a.m., he could have died the moment he hit that cross. Why didn't he? Because there was a soul that he had to meet with. Do you hear me? There was a soul that he had to meet with. Who was that soul? The thief. There was a thief there who, in the battered and tattered and torn up looking Jesus, saw a king. And he saw him and he repented. Amen? And Delmer, does anybody know Delmer here? You know Delmer that has the chair, the special chair? Delmer taught me this, and I thought it was good. So I want to share it, and I'm going to give credit to him. He said that day at Calvary, you know how around West Virginia you usually see three crosses? That day, there was a man that died from his sins. That day, there was a man that died in his sins. And then that day, there was a man who died for our sins. Amen? God's presence is seen here because God led this. How far would you go? How far would you allow Jesus to take you into humility? Would you get beat up for him? How far would you go? Would you be willing to get out of your comfort zone? Allow me to introduce you to the biblical pathfinder. You guys want to be pathfinders? I only see a couple of hands. Oh my goodness. Well, praise the Lord for those hands. Because I look at pathfinders like the Marines. Once a pathfinder, always a pathfinder. And I really think that's what God is calling us to. Do you know where the original pathfinders are found in Scripture? It's in Mark chapter 2. Turn with me there. Mark chapter 2. Are you guys enjoying this? Okay, making sure. God's Pathfinder, Mark chapter 2. Let me know when you're there. Amen. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says, again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. And he came to, and they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him, because of the what? Because of the crowd. They uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And verse 5 says, when Jesus saw what? Their faith. He said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. You know what, guys? This is the first Pathfinder scene here. They did something unheard of. They got out of the boat. They did something that was probably criticized for doing. Oh, you messed up the roof. Do you know what they had in their heart? The salvation of their friend. How far would you go? Young people, in this verse, it says something that I really think you need to hear. Because it says they couldn't come near because of the crowd. Who's the crowd that follows Jesus? What do we call that crowd that meets and follows Jesus? Who is that? Say it louder. I can't hear you. Disciples. What do we call our disciples today? The church. Man, let's be honest. We're missing two generations in our church. We're missing them, guys. We don't have time to be critical of our young people anymore. But young people, this is where my challenge is to you. Think outside the box. If you'll remember that even if that wave comes at you with criticism or what have you, who's with you? Jesus. You finish the work. I really believe you're facing the mark of the beast soon. I'm looking around and I really believe this is it. And so if somebody comes at you, and they may be well-intentioned, but they hate your beard. They hate the way you look. They hate your music. Go above them. Circumvent them. Do what Jesus has called you guys to do. And that is to bring your friends to Jesus. Amen? Because you got people on your side. And believe me, we take that flack for you. And you really ought to highly esteem Walter. Because he's got your back. Amen? And so my challenge to all of us, how far would you go with Jesus? God's power, God's plan, God's providence, God's presence, and God's pathfinders are going to finish this work. Because he's leading the charge. get out of the boat. Amen? My wife and her team are going to sing this closing song.
Testing. Thank you.